Welcome to the Media Ministry of Crossroads Church Aspen. To learn more about Crossroads, visit our website at ccaspen.com. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Steve Woodrow.
Good morning, everyone. Hope you're doing great this morning. Another beautiful Sunday morning. Hope you're excited to dive into the Word of God and hear what God has to tell us. We've been in this series, Spirit People, just started a few weeks ago. We'll be here for a while just trying to get our arms around this idea of what is this life that Jesus calls us into, this abundant life that He calls us into. What is that all about? Before I dive in, though, I just want to step back and tag Sarah's word of encouragement here this morning during worship. What she had an impression that someone here has been really wrestling with their calling. And I just felt that she felt that the Lord wanted to say that someone is called to the nations. And I just want to piggyback on that and don't let that slide over, okay? That's what church is all about, folks. By the way, if you read the scriptures, when the church gathers, the prophetic word goes out of encouragement, bringing detail to the direction and guidance in our lives. And we have to hold open hands before God. That's when life gets real exciting. If that's you, if your heart was burning when she said that, we would love to talk to you after. Just pray with you and encourage you. Plus, I'd like to take you to India with me in September, so... get a little taste. It's abundant life, folks. No question. So, middle of September. Okay, we'll talk. Folks, we're going to be in John 4. I looked this morning about learning to live. I want to get real practical this morning. I'm going to give you just an overview. Out of chapter 4, Jesus shows us very specifically what this Spirit-led life, this abundant life is that He calls us into. He gives us some incredible details in here, and I'm just going to give you an overview of 8 things. There's more, but just 8 things, and we're going to, in the weeks ahead, dive very deep into each of these 8 things and get our arms around, what does this mean in my life? How do I lay hold of this life that Jesus calls me to? Just to begin, let me just ask you this question. It might be a strange question, maybe you didn't ask it before, but whose life do you daydream about living? Whose life do you daydream about living? We all do it. We've all done it. We do it more than we'd realize. I mean, just think about it. Whose life do you sit around and you might see them on TV, you might see them out or whatever it is, but that you just start dreaming. What would life be like if I was them? You know, I used to play basketball, and so when I watch LeBron or Curry, I sometimes think, wow, what would it be like if I could jump like that? What would life be like off the court, man? What would that, you ever, you know, think about that? Or just go down the line, right? Whether it's wealthy people or the other thing, just... I think some of this is a little bit healthy as long as we think about it in the right way. We don't get all caught up in it. But if you're in India or somewhere else, you don't have to be in India or somewhere else, but if you're watching the news and you see our brothers and sisters getting persecuted in Syria, what would it be like if I lived in Syria and I was a Christian? What would life be like? Folks, the amazing thing is that Jesus came. And He came to bring life to us uniquely who we are, okay? And it's amazing, and I think just even myself, we have to just get honest with ourselves, is that when was the last time you daydreamed about what would it be like to live like Jesus? What would it really be like to live like Him? Because that's what the Christian life's all about. And, you know, I think as I started thinking about this in my own life, I started thinking, you know, there's a lot of other people that I would think about, daydream about living and experiencing their life. And, boy, well, what is it about Jesus that's kind of scary or, whoa, you know, to think about living like that? And, folks, I think that, and I'm just going to give my honest assessment of being in ministry several decades, and and thinking through the gospel and what Jesus offers us. But I think that way too many believers, way too many people in church, for so long we've heard the gospel, we've heard that Jesus has abundant life for us, we've heard about this incredible life, right, in following Jesus and having a relationship with Jesus. But I think for most people, and this is honestly why I think when kids, they may grow up in the church, they might get it, they might learn it in Sunday school, but as adolescence comes, they start daydreaming about a lot of other people and a lot of other lives rather than the life of Christ. And they get pulled. And sometimes they never get pulled back. Because you know what? I think the problem is many sitting today sit, they want to believe, but when it comes down to the reality in our lives is that I don't know what that looks like. If I'm really honest, wow, what is it that keeps me from, my man, I don't want to live like Jesus. And can I even do that? I'm a mess. How's that possible to live like that? And what would it look like? I think there's an incredible amount of just ambiguous, just unclearness in the church when it comes to what does this life look like? And how do I lay hold of it? Now, folks, don't miss this. This is very important. Is Jesus didn't come to save us and to bring his spirit inside us for us to live somebody else's life, for us to, quote, live his life. There's only one Jesus, and he's God. He came to send his spirit inside our life to bring the life of God, to bring the life of God alive with who we uniquely are. Nobody can live your life. No one has uniquely the gifts, talents, personality, everything that you have. In all the universe, there'll never be another you. For all eternity, think about that. Never be another you. No matter how much they can clone, all right? They'll never be able to breathe the spirit, the uniqueness of who you are, into a body. Only you can live your life. And Jesus came to bring the power of God inside our soul for us to live fully who we are. And when our uniqueness, creating the image of God, comes in this powerful exchange of fellowship with the living God, abundance happens. And see, Jesus came, and remember, he said to his disciples, it is better that I go. It is better that I send back to the right hand of the Father so that I might send forth the Father and the Son, send forth the Holy Spirit to be in all of you. So now there can be a bunch of, listen carefully, little Jesuses in every tongue, tribe, and nation. As the Spirit of God transforms uniquely who you are to carry out uniquely God's plan and work that he has for your life. And so, folks, I just encourage you, there is no better life than the life you have. It is when we open our hearts to Christ that things get real exciting. But I think it is confusing, right? What does that look like? How do we do that? And we're beat up all over the place with images and ideas about what good life, what this life should be. And we get all on tangents all over the place, right? And we need to have a clear understanding. And folks, that's what I hope to do this morning, give you a little taste, and then we're going to dive in. And the thing is that Jesus came, what discipleship's all about, what Jesus said, he's come for followers, not just folks who say they believe. And remember, we talked about before, fans. He's looking for followers. Those who give their life to him to follow him and have his spirit come in and start this incredible fellowship, right? So John chapter 4, I don't have any of the scriptures up because I'm going to go through this incredible story of the woman at the well this morning. And I just want to point out some powerful things. And like I said, I got 8 things. There's many more. But these are just clear things that we can expect to grow in and learn as we walk with Christ, and to understand what this spirit-led, this spirit life, this new abundant life is that Christ has for us uniquely, each of us. And so let's just dive in. John chapter 4, verse 1 says, now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, that's John the Baptist, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but only his disciples, he left Judea and he departed again for Galilee. Little side note, I want to take a tangent, but last week I touched on it. This is important theology to understand. Jesus himself did not do any baptizing. Why is that? Acts chapter 1, right? It says John came, baptizing, a baptism of repentance, a washing, getting ready for the path of the Lord. Jesus says, wait here. Not long from now, I will baptize you. What? With the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. Right? The promise of the Father. The giving forth of the very Spirit of God to come inside our heart and our soul. To walk with us and have fellowship. That's what we talked about last week. Verse 4. And he had to pass through Samaria. Don't miss it. And he had to pass through Samaria. Why did he have to? Because he didn't. Matter of fact, rabbis at the time would make it a point never to go through Samaria. They would go all the way around because they believed the Samaritans were half-breeds, unclean, go down the line. It was, you know, radical ethnic struggle. We're not about to go into that land. Jesus had to go through Samaria. Okay? Folks, here's the first principle of what the Spirit led when we start walking with Jesus and start understanding who he is. The first one is learning direction and guidance. Learning how to be led by God. Learning how in our mind, in our heart, in our life, learning to bring our plans to God. And learning this dialogue and prayer and letting other people, right, speak into our directions and our plans with a desire. God, I want your will. I want your direction in this move. And folks, you know, it's amazing the number of people in the church today that we just go on making decisions in life, taking this job, moving to this city, dating this person, without ever bringing God into it. Without ever even thinking, Lord, what should I do here? Speak to me. And folks, this is where things get really exciting, and this is such a huge step. This is what opens our heart and our soul for God to speak great clarity, great things into our life. It's usually, and I'm going to speak personally, when we get way down the line of making all of our plans that we run into trouble, and oh God, help me. Here I am. Remember the story of Jonah in the Old Testament? It was all about going the different direction. No, I want to go to Tarshish. I'm going to go to the comfortable city, the nice city. I'm not about to go to Nineveh, God. That's where my enemies are. Jonah, I need you to go to Nineveh. I ain't doing it. Right? And you know the rest of the story. If not, read it. There's power in it, right? Folks, have you learned to listen to the voice of God? There's nothing like the peace of God. When I know I'm in his will, when I know this job is not just because it pays a lot of money, not just because I like it, not just because of this or that. God, you, this is your direction for me. And there's nothing like, God, I want confirmation. Lord, I need to know this is the right move. Speak to me through others' voices. And having others surround us and say, yes, I affirm that direction. Right? I affirm that. When who we are going to date or get married to. Incredible today. We go online, we go on and date this person, that person, and we move towards romance without ever outbringing other people into the mix and asking, what do you see? Is this good? Is this of God? Is his hand on this? And we're getting what we're getting, right? Don't need to go down that road. The first thing, folks, God wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. The reason why Jesus had to go to Samaria is because the Father, listen, had some business for him there. He had an incredible revival waiting for him there, as we're going to see. He had a divine moment with this outcast woman ready. Only the Father could have orchestrated that an entire city was going to be radically transformed because of one outcast woman who had been cast out, wasn't even allowed to come to the well with all the other ladies, but when she met the King of Kings, and his grace overshadowed her life. Man, that entire region, city changed. Do you believe that God wants to do that with you? Nothing is keeping. That is how his Spirit is moving in you. If we're open to, Lord, just speak to me. Make myself available. He will do it. Let me move on, because I'm going to come back, and we're going to preach just that, and I got to cover some ground. But we're going to dive in deep on that, folks, because every one of us, one of the biggest questions people have, how do I know God's will for my life? It's very simple here, right? You start with obedience. Once I start lining my life up with being obeying to his God, you know what? It's amazing how God starts coming and greeting real clear with great guidance in our life, okay? All right, that's just a little nugget. We'll dive in later. He had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Joseph's well was there. And so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, don't miss that. Jesus was wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour, and we'll read on, know that the disciples went off to get food. Jesus is alone at the well, but he's wearied. He's too tired to even go get food. He's wore out. Folks, here's another thing when it comes to the Spirit-led life is learning, how to handle our weakness and our strength, to know who we are. And for Jesus, folks, this is amazing. We're going to dive into this, but remember, he was fully God. He was fully man. It's the only way he could save us. It's the only way he could show us what life looked like when a human being was empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is why the dove came upon him. To show us this is the Spirit-led life. This is what it looks like. And to understand our weaknesses and our strengths. Only by God speaking to our life can we understand really where we're weak. And folks, just to know how to fill our tank up, right? And to know how to maximize who we uniquely are by God. This is what it means to start walking with God. And he'll bring that about right inside our lives. We'll dive in a lot more on that big issue. And folks, I would say this too as I go through these this morning and just kind of give us a little preview is I trust that God is going to speak and nudge some of us in each of these different areas and want to move us and speak to us and do some great things inside us even this morning. But folks, I think some of you, we all should know what it's like to be overwhelmed with weakness, to be stuck. Remember what Paul said? 2 Corinthians says, when I am weak, I am. He had learned something powerful. He had learned that in the midst of his weakness, if he surrenders to the power of God inside him, all things are possible. As a matter of fact, God told him specifically is that, Paul, when you're at a place of really recognizing in touch with your weakness, it's when I can really move supernaturally through you, right? A woman from Samaria, verse 7, came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. You can go back one. Learning to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Folks, Jesus was alone. He knew when his tank was low. He knew he had a sense of understanding his emotional and spiritual and physical health. And he knew how to strengthen himself in the Lord and to build himself back up. As we see that language used with King David in the Old Testament. I ask you this morning, do you know when your soul is depleting? Do you know when your emotions are failing? Do you know when your body is failing? And by the way, a lot of other times, all of those things happen together. And if emotions and spiritual start falling apart, it's real short time before it starts manifesting physically in our body. Do you know how to strengthen yourself in the Lord? This is what it is to walk with the Spirit of God, to learn that. We're going to dive in and look at that this next few weeks. But the next thing, it says Jesus comes to the well and he's sitting there and he has time for it. It's just an amazing picture, right, that takes place. Number one, if you've studied, you know that a rabbi should not be talking to a woman, and a rabbi surely shouldn't be alone with a woman, and surely shouldn't be alone with this kind of woman who comes alone at noon. She was an outcast. She was shunned from the other women of the city because of her lifestyle, which we're going to see. But God Almighty, Father, had a special divine appointment with this woman and with our Lord. And you go to number four. Folks, we got to learn how to engage people at a soul level. We got to learn and be open. God, show me, what does this person really need? We got to learn. It doesn't just come by naturally. We have to learn by the Spirit's power, make ourselves available for Him, right, to change the conversation with people, to grow up in amazing love and compassion for people so that when we engage them, we get below the surface. And we're able to engage them, right, at a deep soul level. And we're going to dive into this, but folks, I learned this from hanging out with our Syrian friend Mazar in Lebanon. But we just walked the streets, and it was brilliant how he modeled this in the sense that he would always use this question, hey, will you help me, brother? Hey, sister, I need your help. It is absolutely the opposite of a Western person does. We try to tell somebody, hey, you need, can I, you know, we try to fix somebody. The Eastern mindset is simply, hey, can you help me? I need a drink of water. Because when you ask somebody for help, what does that do to that person? It draws them in. It honors them. And just try this at work or whatever. It will change it completely changes the tone and opens that person up to a conversation. And folks, it's revolutionized how I engage people, especially when it comes to spiritual talk. Man, when I was like, hey, listen, you know, and you go right at them with something. It's like, whoa. Instead of, hey, man, can you help me with something? What do you think the problem is today in our culture? Boom. Right? Hey, can you help me, man? Why is it we have such a hard time, do you think? You know, have an honest, respectful dialogue in our culture. Can you help me with that? Boom. Now you're into a conversation. Hey, can you help me? I need a drink of water. And look what that does. This incredible engagement. For his disciples have gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered her, oh, here's the switch. Oh, if you had known the gift of God, who it is that's saying this to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. What is Jesus doing? Folks, this is him showing us how to live. This is him showing, hey, if you let the Spirit lead, when you're sitting in the airport waiting for a flight, when you're on the bus, when you're at a restaurant, when just anywhere in life where we're sitting around and listen carefully to me and you're not glued to the phone. What do people do when we have spare time today? Just go by the bus stop. They're on the phone. Get into an elevator. It's kind of uncomfortable. What are people doing? Don't pull it out. Sit in that terminal. God, what do I need to do? I'm telling you, God will open up all kinds. He'll show you somebody who just needs a prayer, just needs to be asked, can I help you? I told you my story in India. I had this sitting in the airport and just saw this guy reading Nietzsche. And I said, man, help me out here. You know, what are you getting out of Nietzsche? Right? We're still Facebook friends. So it's amazing. That's life. Rather than really... this bondage of just getting stuck on our technology, missing out on what God wants us to do. Jesus shows us beautifully what to do, and then the Spirit will lead us, that conversation, right into something deep and powerful and wonderful, right? Woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with. The well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. And Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst again. The water that I will give him will become in him springs of living water welling up to eternal life. Jesus is using the context of a well and water, right, to get to her life. It's just like, Lord, show me, right, how to engage this conversation with somebody and just lead me right into this conversation to get to the heart of the matter, right? Just learning to engage people at a soul level. Folks, that's when the abundant life starts going. When you say, God, wow, you just showed me this person. Wow, Lord, look at this conversation we just had. I mean, this is what builds faith. This is where this personal walk with God becomes powerful, okay? Hugely powerful. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty nor have to come here again to draw water." Now we're vamping up. And Jesus, because back in that culture, is that you never did anything. And still to this day, if you go to the East or India or most places in the world, is it's a very, the honor system is patriarchal. You don't really move too forward talking to anyone in the family unless you first have the father present and get the father's blessing. And so he says to her, or her husband in this situation, Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." And the woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband.' You have had five husbands, and the one that you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive you're a prophet. What's going on?" Folks, I believe most of us have grown up in the church, and we've heard this story, and we just kind of go over that, and we read that, wow, that's amazing. Jesus did that because he's God. He had that insight into her life because he's God. God knows everything. Folks, this is an absolute critical theological thing to understand. Philippians 2 says that Jesus, when he came, he set aside, he emptied himself, the great kenosis passage of his deity. He came in the flesh, fully man. This is why the Holy Spirit dove had to come on him at his baptism, on his humanity, not his deity. He set his deity aside so he could show us what a spirit-led life looks like, so he could show us what a real obedient life looks like. In his deity, obedience. There is no fall to sin. In his humanity, he had to learn, as Hebrews tells us, obedience. This will revolutionize how you look at Scripture. And most of us, again, I'm going to make a general statement here, have grown up in the church, and we read the Gospels and everything, and we see, wow, that miracle was amazing. Jesus, that was amazing. You're God. That's awesome. Okay, that doesn't really do anything for us except, wow, God, that was amazing. It's a radically different thing when Jesus says, "Now follow me and go do it." What Jesus did here was not out of his deity. What he did here is exactly what 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14 tells us to do, which this is called a word of knowledge, a prophetic word, a divine word that comes from the Spirit of God inside the soul of a human, right, to give revelation inside to the soul of someone, to encourage them, to break something free, to bring new life and blessing into somebody's life, to wake them up, to understand, wow, God is speaking to me. Do you realize that gift, and this leads us here to the number five, is learning to pursue and operate in the spiritual gifts. This is why Paul says, I wish all of you would pursue the gift of prophecy. I wish all of you would pursue words of knowledge and words of wisdom, that I might move through springs of living water welling up to bring eternal life. That's exactly what he just told her. He promised her is anybody who has my water, anybody who invites me into my heart, the Spirit of God's alive, and it's going to well up in this spring, and it's going to overflow, bringing eternal life to other people. Do you realize that's for you? And if you read the most language we have in all the Bible about how worship should look like in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, when everybody comes out, I wish everybody was prophesying. In other words, we come and, Lord, do you got something to speak to me? And it's this incredible exchange of encouraging each other. This is what I think the Lord wants to bless you with. And folks, the amount of detail in a word of knowledge that is available is nothing outside of supernatural revelation. And let me tell you, what a blessing it is to be on the receiving side of that. To know, wow, God knows. He's speaking to me. He knows it down to the details of my life. And what an incredible blessing to operate in that gift. To know, wow, Lord, springs of living water. Amazing. What a partnership. More of that, God, please. More. Right? Folks, is that something you've pursued? Is that something even in your wheelhouse? Of understanding as a parent, it's not just blessing your kids. It's like, Lord, I need a divine revelation. Speak this blessing. Give me something for my child. Right? If you just look around, as I said, when you sit around and observe It's amazing. People are desperate for an encouraging word. Eternal life, welling up. God loves you. He sees where you're at. Remember, Jesus did this in Nathan. I saw you under the fig tree. Nor is he saying, I clearly know what you were doing. You were seeking God. You needed revelation. Nathan was like, whoa. All right. It's awesome. So that's the fifth one, is learning to expect. Pursue, folks, and expect the spiritual gifts. Bring them alive. We've got to learn how to do that. We're going to dive deep, right, into that. A woman said to her, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say then Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Remember a couple weeks we dove into this. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. And folks, in the West, most of us, again, I'm going to generalize this, but we've grown up in worshiping in truth, intellectual engagement. I believe this. That's good theology. The idea of what it means to worship and follow God and live this life filled and directed by the Spirit of God, many of us, it's foreign, it's weird. I don't know how to do that. It's word and spirit. It's both, right? It's both. Okay? And this is what we're going to go after. Okay? The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. Folks, don't miss this clarity. Jesus said to her, revelation of God to the heart of someone desperately needing what every heart needs, a Savior. This reconciliation with the God who created it, and we've wandered. I who speak to you am He. Am He. Folks, don't buy all the crap that is out there in the intellectual world that tries to say that Jesus is some just good prophet or teacher. All through the Bible, there is no question he claimed to be the Son of God Almighty, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, fully God. Okay? So to call him just a good teacher is intellectually ridiculous. It's back to C.S. Lewis. It's either he's a liar, he's a lunatic, or he's the Lord of all the universe, right? Just then his disciples, we got to go to number six here. Man, I want to spend time on each of these. Learning to talk openly about Jesus. Folks, when was the last time you openly talked about Jesus? When was the last time his name, the name above all names, was on your lips publicly with somebody else over cocktails, at work, out having fun on the trails, at home at the dinner table, in a business meeting, in a hospital, at the airport terminal? When was the last time his name was on your lips? When was the last time you were excited about talking about the one who loves you more than all? Thanks. To walk with Jesus, to have the Spirit. And folks, this is convicting to me. Man, if he's who I says he is, and his name's not on my lips, if I'm not excited about engaging in conversation about the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the one who's got grace for all, the one who solves all the big problems, sin, death, everything, who takes all of my sin, all my mess, and cleanses me, is anything alive inside me if I'm not mentioning his name? And folks, the bottom line is, it's getting riskier and riskier to talk about Jesus, isn't it? It just proves. It's just amazing. It just proves the power of his name. No other name will get the reaction like you start talking about Jesus, right? Man, we're to be Jesus people. We're to be Jesus freaks, right? When we engage, not in an unhealthy, weird, right, offensive way. We have enough of that junk. Authentic, real, from the soul. Just talking to people about Jesus. I remember my mom, she used language in talking to people, do you know my Jesus? Do you know my Jesus? I'd love you to know him. Let me tell you what he's done for me. Let me tell you, there's no one like him. What are you struggling with? There's nothing that has you overwhelmed that my Jesus cannot heal. love of God, right? Just then the disciples came back, and they're so clueless, right? This is just such a picture of how most of the time we live life. We're just clueless about what's going on God's in the spiritual realm. They're hungry, they're tired, and they're all about getting food, right? And they come back and they marvel, whoa, what's going on? Gee, whoa, you're hanging out alone with a woman at the well and you're talking to her. Whoa, this is uncomfortable. And of course they didn't say anything. They're just like, whoa, what do we say? What, you know? They didn't ask, right? It says, why are you talking to her? They didn't ask any questions. So the woman left. In the midst of all this, she leaves her water jar and went into town and said to the people, Come. And folks, I don't have time. We're going to come into it. But remember, this woman's outcast. Big time. She's running in the town, and the town sees, whoa, here she comes. Come. Listen to a man who's told me all that I've ever done. And folks, we'll break down what that just means, what was going on here. A radically changed life. There was something on her, a visible manifestation, a countenance. She was a changed person. And that testimony riled up an entire city to come to Jesus. Can this be the Christ? What? Whoa. You mean he's speaking to you? And they went out of the town and they were coming to him. Can you see the picture? Look at this at personal engagement. Jesus was there. And folks, this is how we're to live, right? And because of that testimony, because of the encouragement in the person's life, in this situation, somebody who had an incredible reputation, right? And the changed life to move back into this town where she was, whew, right? Look what's happening. And now that town is coming to Jesus. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, look, here they are. They're so clueless. Rabbi, eat something. Come on. Got to be hungry. But don't miss these words. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought you something to eat? Still clueless. Amazing. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, there's yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Yet I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Come on, guys. Get your eyes off the normal material world, man. There's a life I want you to live. There's a purpose I want you to live. Man, I got mission for you. I got things I want you to do, but you got to lift your eyes. You got to look. You got to let the Spirit of God come and lead you into these divine appointments. Man, the thing Jesus is saying, the thing that fires me up in life is not a great meal. All right, the thing that fires me up in life is not the material stuff. The thing that fires me up more than anything is to know, man, I'm in the Father's will. I'm doing his work. I'm doing his business. And I'm seeing radical impact. People's lives and whole cities radically changed. And folks, that's what God wants to do through you in a powerful way. Folks, I love this because I don't have my phone with me. But just back to that analogy, we are a culture of looking down. We're consumed. If you drive through town, you'll see people walking like this across the street, right? You'll see people sitting, couples at dinner, just glued to their phones. We are looking down. You know what Jesus is saying to the church today? Look up. Look up from your technology. Raise your eyes. Look and see. Take time for God, right, to speak. And to Dirk, y'all come on up. Folks, don't miss this. Man, can't wait to get to this one, right? The spirit life, folks, practically what does it look like? It is this radical transformation, folks, from busyness. That's what happens when you and I try to run our life. That's what happens when we try to make the decisions of direction and guidance in our life, is busyness happens. And oh, we know everything that comes with that. The spirit-led life is simply learning the business of the Father. For him to lead even our to-do list and our priorities throughout the day. Boy, there's a freedom and there's a joy in that, folks. And finally, the last thing. It says, as we read the scripture, the entire town came out. And it says, we don't just believe because of this testimony of this woman, but we believe because we've heard it from you. And they pleaded with him, Jesus, come, hang out with us. Don't leave. And he went to Sychar into the Samaritan for 2 days. And said, a revival broke out in an entire city. And folks, what took place there was the building of the church, a word and spirit community, because they'd seen the testimony of what God can do to change a life. Probably the most, the woman of the most irrepute in the entire town met Jesus, and his life was radically changed. And man, if you can look upon her life, and if you, God, can have fellowship with that kind of life, and if you, God, can forgive that, man, you can take care of all my mess. Right? A word and spirit community. It's what the church should be, right? Father, thank you for your word. Lord, let us respond appropriately, Lord, to your love and your power. God, that life, Lord, just unleash it, Lord. Holy Spirit, come and awaken us to what you have for us. Help us learn these things, Father. Holy Spirit, come now. Teach us. Teach us, Lord. Teach us, Lord, to speak openly about you, Jesus, to lift up your name, Lord, from our heart, Lord, not forced. Teach us, Lord, to learn guidance, direction from you, God. Teach us how to strengthen ourselves, Lord, when we're down, Lord. Teach us, Lord, how to understand our weakness and our strength, that you are the one who comes in power, God. Yes, Lord. Teach us your business, Father. And Lord, pray you awaken us. If there's barriers to receiving and moving forward to receive the spiritual gifts, Lord, you have so much for your people, Lord. Yes, God, I pray and encourage every people that, yes, no matter where we're at, no matter how far we've run from you, what it is, that spring of living water, yes, Lord, you want to have fellowship with us, and you want that water to flow out to others, God. Just take some time, enjoy his presence. Let him speak to you. Let him encourage you this morning. He has something very specific for you. Receive it this morning.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.